Let's turn now in the scriptures to Matthew chapter 5. And we're continuing our study through the Beatitudes, coming now to Matthew 5 and verse 8. We could read from verse 3 just to set the words in context. Let's hear the word of the Lord. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And especially these words, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. What does it mean to be pure in heart? It's a rare quality in this world. Sadly, we live in a very ugly, a very dirty, a very contaminated world, where rather what we see around us is filthiness in heart rather than purity in heart. And sadly, we see a world all about us that has chosen that filth and that has loved that filth rather than desiring the purity in heart which alone the Lord can give. The sad thing is that we live in a world which can feed its basest, its ugliest, its wickedest desires, and it does so. And sadly, we see all about us the wicked fruits of that. Men and women going on in sin, feeding their lust for sin, their desire for sin, and finding that they never achieve satisfaction, but that sin simply begets more sin and yet more desire for sin. The Christian man and woman is different and must be different from that wicked, that sinful world. Blessed are the pure in heart, the clean, the washed, the cleansed. There's more to it, in fact, than that, than just the idea of cleanness. The idea specifically seems to be singleness in heart. Blessed are those who are single in heart. In other words, those who are sincere. Those who are clear in their motives. They aren't mixed in their motives. Loving the world and loving the things of God. Rather, they are single-minded in their pursuit of the things of God. They are sincere, they are honest, they don't have hidden motives, they are pure in heart, and their heart loves the things of God. You see, the people of God, yes, they must be clean outwardly, but more than that, they must also be clean inwardly. Not enough simply to do the works of God. We must also love the things of God, delight in the things of God. Our hearts must be pure, not just our hands. And so we have to examine ourselves as we come to a text like this. If we are in the Christian church, we must examine ourselves, whether indeed we are the people of God, whether we are those who are pure in heart. It's just like the Lord Jesus says in chapter 6, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. And that conveys much the same idea, a single-minded focus, a pure focus upon the things of God. In other words, the things of God are our first love, and everything else comes a distant second. It's not saying perfection, that is impossible. It is saying rather in this life, that we are those whose first love is for the things of God. Blessed are the pure in heart. And so therefore the true Christian is different, is marked out in the midst of this sinful world. The true Christian is pure in heart. The world is polluted and corrupted in heart. There is a difference. There is a distinction. Blessed are the pure in heart. And so that will be our theme for a few moments today. The true Christian is pure in heart, and we will see how that sets us apart in the midst of this sinful world. Let's stress that there is still a logical connection, a logical thread running through these Beatitudes. We saw how the first three Beatitudes spoke of the consciousness of need, inwardly, poor in spirit, inwardly, mourning, outwardly, meek. Then the nature of that lack, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. And now, as we said last week, we're coming to the practice of it. Blessed are the merciful, those who strive after righteousness outwardly. Now we come to the inward. Blessed are the pure in heart, those who love the things of God, those who choose the things of God, and who delight in them above all other things. So there is a logical connection that we are following through here as we describe the true Christian man or woman. So firstly then, let's see, the world is not pure in heart. How do we set ourselves apart from the world in describing this mark of grace? Blessed are the pure in heart. But this world does not admire purity. There are many in the world who don't even give the appearance of purity, who are quite open and unashamed in their love of sin, who are quite open that they are really more comfortable with sin rather than with any kind of pursuit of godliness. And we see that more and more in the tragedy of the outward decline and deterioration in our society. There was an interesting scandal in the newspapers this last week. Some university students in America, an American university called Duke University, and some of the students who were going in to start their course in the first year in that university, they rebelled against their lecturers. Publicly, they said, no, we will not follow the instruction we've been given. They've been told, you must read a certain book. And this book was a graphic novel which contained depictions of what we would describe as sinful and unnatural sexual acts. And these students were saying, this is immoral, this is wrong. And so we have this crazy situation where we have young people, young students, who are still, we might say, little more than children, just young people starting out in life. And they have more of a moral conscience and a moral sense than the professors appointed over them to teach them. What a tragedy and what an indictment of our society that we see such love for sin and such a desire to promote sin. Sadly, we see it just as much in our own land. The approval of same-sex marriage, our society putting its stamp of approval upon wicked and unnatural acts and saying this is marriage. Well, we see the tragedy of a world that loves sin, of a world that, in many cases, is not even trying to be pure. Sadly for many of them, it's like what the Apostle Paul writes to Titus, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. And don't we see that fulfilled all about us in a world for which nothing is pure? The world does not admire purity. But it's more than that. The world doesn't believe in purity. You'll find this if you go out, let's say, knocking on doors or tracting, engaging in kinds of evangelism or evangelistic discussion, you'll very quickly start to get the response back, no, all Christians are hypocrites. How many times have we heard that? All Christians are hypocrites. You're all the same. You're all just in it for what you can get out of it. And sadly for many people, that is the reason and the excuse for not coming to the Lord and coming to the things of God. And it's true that in the Christian church, sadly, there are those who commit serious, grave sin, and sadly, who greatly undermine not just their own profession, but also the profession of all the people of God. That is tragic. That is tragic where we see people who claim to be godly and yet prove by their lives that they have no purity of heart and that they have no seeking after God, that they have simply been better at concealing their own wickedness than the people of this world. But you and I know better. We know people who love the Lord clearly and evidently. We see around us some of the people of God who are indeed pure in heart, who are indeed clear and single-minded in their focus upon the things of God. And we, I hope, are each of us striving to be such people. We are striving to be those who are pure in heart, who don't just have the profession, the external appearance, but who have the true inward reality of those whose pure love is for the things of God. You see, you and I have seen genuine, evident Christianity. And we cannot just take refuge in that excuse, oh, they're all just the same, it's all just hypocrisy. No, we know that's not true. There is a reality to the Christian faith, and that is not undermined by the many hypocrites who there are in this life. There is such a thing as purity. But fundamentally, we will not find that purity in the world. The world is not pure. And this is what truly sets apart all those who are of this world from the true Christian people. Blessed are the pure in heart. This world is not pure in heart. The world is not pure. Now, it's true that there are some who give the appearance of kindness, graciousness, of compassion. And that is a good thing. It is good to see people, even in this sinful world, who show kindness and compassion. But yet, the tragic thing is that this world is a place of ugly motives, where we see about us people who are full of pride, who are full of self-seeking, who are full of arrogance, who are full of ambition, who are full of desire for wealth, for money, for promotion, for advancement. We see about us people whose motives are corrupted. Yes, it's true, sometimes they will do things that are good, but so often the motives are wrong. Blessed are the pure in heart, those whose motives are pure. We do good because we wish to obey God and we wish to serve Him. That is different from the world. That is distinct from this world. The world does not love God and does not desire to serve Him. The world may do good from the good that they think will result, but they do not do it for the love of God. And so we see that set apart, that distinction between the people of this world whose goodness is outward and the people of God whose goodness is also inward. It's like the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. And isn't that a picture of our world? If you're looking for purity in this world, where will you find it? Scratch the surface and you will find the contamination, the folly, the sin just underneath. But if you're in the Christian church, the true Christian church, amongst the true people of God, will you find something different? The Word of God says yes. The Word of God says, blessed are the pure in heart. And that indicates for us that yes, there are a people of God in this world, and they are different from that sinful, wicked world around us. Blessed are the pure in heart. Measure yourself by this standard. Are you one who is described here? I'm not asking if you're perfect. None of us is perfect. I'm asking, do you still delight in sin? Do you still delight in breaking God's commandments? Is that your first love? To revel in sin, to revel in desire after sin, to revel in the fulfillment of it. If so, you prove yourself to be a child of this world, to be one who has no love for the Lord within you. The people of God have their first love for the Lord and for doing the things of the Lord, for obedience to God. Examine yourself. Is this your first love? I know there's still a love for sin within you. I know there are still sinful desires, but is your first love the love for the Lord, the love which He has implanted? Blessed are the pure in heart. Ask yourself if that is the one central overriding motivation. Oh, that I would love God and that I would please God in this world. If not, we must come to the one who will give us a true heart transplant. As we were singing, create in me a clean heart. Lord, renew a right spirit within me. So we see then the world is not pure in heart. But we see secondly, the true Christian is pure in heart. Let's come to the positive. Let us consider what is involved in being pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The Christian receives this purity. That's crucial to understand. We're not naturally like that. We don't start out like that. It's a change that the Lord works within us. We start off like the world, loving sin, delighting first and foremost in disobedience to God and in all that that brings with it. But it is the work of the Holy Spirit to effect a change, a radical change, which we were reading about in our Old Testament reading in the book of Ezekiel. A change that's described like a change of heart, as though your old heart, that stony heart that loved sin, was taken out, removed, and a new heart that was soft to the Lord, a heart of flesh, a heart that felt sin, that hates sin, that loves the things of God, a new heart put in. Says the Lord in Ezekiel, a new heart also I will give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Children, this is the change that the Lord Jesus describes as being born again. You see the radical nature of that. It's like a new life, a new start. You are born again. The Holy Spirit comes in, makes the change. And now you have a love for God and a love for the things of God and a new desire after holiness. And by the Lord working in you, you are able to bring forth, in some measure, holiness in your conduct. Ye shall keep my judgments and do them. It's not saying that all of your other sinful desires are suddenly gone, removed, but it's saying that you have a new primary desire, a new first desire, a new first motivation that comes above all of these other sinful inclinations. And the Christian is thus pure in heart. His heart's first love is for the things of God. And that is received from God. It is the work of God within us that achieves that. And so the result, the Christian strives for purity. Notice the way we're saying it. Not the Christian achieves purity, because sadly we don't always achieve purity. All of our works in this life are in some measure impure. But the Christian strives for purity. Our highest motive is pure, and therefore our aim is to live purely. And we are grieved with ourselves when we see sin within our conduct, and when we see ourselves falling short. This is what marks the Christian out. Not perfection, but the striving after perfection. That's the mark of the true believer. That's what identifies him in this world. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the pure in heart. Hear the exhortation of the Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians 7. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And this is the great challenge of the Christian life, to give expression to this motive we have within us. We have a love for holiness, a desire for it. Therefore, like the apostle is saying, we now need to perfect holiness, to put it into practice, to bring forth the reality in our conduct. This is the challenge for us, and we must strive against the other desires, the sinful inclinations, the wicked temptations of our hearts, and strive to give expression to that first love, that first motive, that pureness of heart that we have towards God. How then can you tell whether I am one of the Lord's people or not, whether I have this purity of heart being described? Well, really by this, the Christian delights in purity. That's what marks us out as different. The world delights in sin. The Christian delights in purity. He loves to see purity in those who are around him. He loves to see other Christians bringing forth holiness. The world despises holiness. The Christian loves it. And the Christian delights in holiness. The Christian delights in holiness above all, in God himself. He loves to see the holiness of God, and he delights in it. The world hates and despises the holiness of God. The world doesn't delight in the holiness of God. The Christian does. You see the difference. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are they who love purity, who delight in purity. And above all, the Christian desires to bring that purity forth in his own conduct. The world doesn't desire purity. The Christian, the true Christian, loves purity and delights in purity and longs to bring forth real purity in his life and conduct. It's like the Apostle James writes in his epistle, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." You see, this is the reality of the Christian life described, and it is in all points different and distinct from this world which loves sin and which delights in the things of sin. Oh, if you see this motive within you, this delighting in holiness, this love for holiness, then take comfort and take encouragement from the words of our text. What does it say? Blessed are the pure in heart. And if you see that pure love for holiness and for the things of God, then that is pronounced over you. Blessed are the pure in heart. They are blessed, for they shall see God. And oh, what comfort and what encouragement when we see ourselves identified in Scripture as being truly the people of God. The true Christian is pure in heart. And that then brings us to see thirdly, the true Christian shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now this is the promise that comes on top of this blessing. We cannot see him now. We can't see God at the present time. That is the premise of what is said. It's part of the curse of this world, isn't it? The blindness that has come in. We can see the signs of God's working around us, but we cannot see God himself. That closeness which marked Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, when we're told that they walked with God in the cool of the day, that closeness is gone. It's been broken by sin. There is a new barrier that has come in which separates us from God. And now, what are we told? As John says, "No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." We can't see God now, but we can come to know him, and we can come to enjoy him. And this is the way of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is through Jesus Christ that we come to know God. Through him. For there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, one peacemaker, one who brings together and who reconciles, and that's the Lord Jesus, who brings us to God and who enables us to know God and to know his presence and grace, who brings forth this peace between God and his church, which sadly was disrupted by our falling into sin. This privilege is not for all. It is for those who are the true people of God, who have been cleansed out of this sinful world. And it is for those who are marked by this new motive, this new desire and striving after holiness. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. In this world, it is that knowing of God, that loving of God, at delighting in God. Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But it's still limited. It's a knowing of God without seeing him. But it's a knowing that gives an appetite, isn't it? We know God, but we long to know him more. We experience God, but oh, how we would experience more of his love and of his presence. So you see, in this life, we are not completely fulfilled. Our Christian life is not satisfied. We have come so far, but we long to go further. And therefore we have the promise. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And so there's more that is promised. Yes, in this life we know him and we love him, but in the world to come, we shall see God. And that's the prospect set before us in this passage. It's like the Apostle Paul writes to the church in Corinth. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. In these days when people had glass, it would be a crude kind of glass, perhaps a little like the kind of glass that we would put upon the window of a bathroom or of a toilet, a glass that is frosted. And the kind of glass that they would have in these days, it wouldn't be pure glass. They wouldn't have the technology for that. It would be distorted, disrupted glass. You could look through it and you could see a sort of impression of the shape of a person, but with no clarity. And the apostle is using this picture, this image. He's saying, now we see through a glass darkly. We've got a sense of what God is like, but we cannot truly see him. But then we shall know, even as also we are known. And this is the hope before us. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And so we shall see him if we are God's people. We will be remade anew in resurrection bodies. And we shall go to be with the Lord forever. It's like the Old Testament writer Job prophesies, though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. And through all Job's trials, he had this hope before him that yes, he would in the flesh see God. And you and I have the same hope set before us that we shall see God. Oh, think of that moment when reborn, remade in holiness, renewed forever in the eternal state, our eyes behold the Lord himself, Jesus Christ, our blessed Saviour, the Father whom we have loved through this world, who has loved us from all eternity, who has now made us his own, the Holy Spirit who has worked within us and who has drawn us into that holy place. Is this not glory indeed, to think that we, wicked sinners, shall see God? Here is the hope set before us. And here is a hope that is delightful for us to reflect upon and to consider. He is pure, and now we cannot see him because we are impure despite our best efforts. But in eternity we shall be pure as he is pure. As John writes, we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We will be pure as well, and so we shall see God. Here then is a hope to lead us on and to encourage us in the midst of this sinful world. The true Christian is pure in heart. Just as we finish, a couple of thoughts of application. To desire God, let us see, is to desire holiness. Blessed are the pure in heart. If your motive is after holiness, if your heart longs and desires for holiness, that shows that you are one of God's people, that you are truly a Christian. And therefore, let that truly be your first love. Delight in holiness, desire holiness. That is the path to God. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. But see too the encouragement if your delight is in holiness. The encouragement, blessed are the pure in heart. They are blessed. They are encouraged. They have the stamp of approval upon them. They are the people who are striving after holiness and who will be made holy in the world to come. Take thought upon that encouragement and let that lead you on and strengthen you in the midst of this sinful world. And if you're here today and you're acknowledging, you're admitting, I don't truly desire holiness. I'm not one who loves the Lord above all things. Then see that the opposite is also true. Cursed are they who are not pure in heart, for they shall not see God. And so there's a solemnity to these Beatitudes. They're identifying the people of God, but they're also identifying the people who are not the people of God. And if your delight is in the things of this world, then you will go on with the people of this world down to the everlasting destination of those who have chosen this world over God and over the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't be satisfied with the things of this life. Don't be satisfied with what passes away, with what is truly worthless. But rather look for what is really precious. Have your treasure in heaven. Have your treasure with Jesus Christ. Come to him even this day. Trust in him as Saviour. Receive his mercy. Receive his love. And find blessing in him that endures for all eternity. May God enable each one of us to come to Jesus Christ and to find in him an everlasting salvation. Amen. And may God bless to us his word of truth.